Bye, Em.
Good morning. You awake, alert, ready to go, right? Hope so. So Tim did embellish my activities yesterday, still a little too much, but that's okay. And maybe at the end of the service you can go congratulate him for all he's been able to accomplish here, and then encourage him as he moves on. I know. I just making sure. Yes, very well aware of that. Thank you. Thank you. Man, people you got to work with these days. Tell you what. Glad you're here. So we've been talking about membership. Membership is a tricky thing because it just is. And so we have been talking about what it means to be a member here at Townsend Free Will Baptist Church. And obviously the first and foremost thing that we want to make sure that you have down pat as far as membership is concerned is that you are a member of God's larger family, not just this family. And what we mean by that is we want to make sure that you understand what a true relationship with Jesus Christ is, and that you have that. That you've accepted that you're a sinner, that you believe that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for your sins, that he was dead and rose again out of power and gave us a hope of eternal life when we place our faith on what he did for us. And then we also encourage that you follow what Scripture teaches, that once you have committed that relationship with God, that you follow in believer's baptism, which we believe that is a full immersion. And then once that's taken care of, once that's set in stone, then we can move forward in allowing you to be a member of our church. Now, if you're not interested in being a member of a church, that doesn't mean you can't be here. We want anybody and everybody that wants to come and worship with us, you are free to be here and take part in all the things that are going on. We just ask that people that are in leadership positions are members of our church. And so that's really the biggest gain that you get from being a member here. And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to finish up talking about our five things that we're looking for members of Townsend Free Will Baptist Church. And again, these are not extras. These are not things that we've just kind of drum up on our own that we want you to be even more than what God asks us. These are things that are in Scripture that we believe all Christians, all believers should be following. But these are the things that we're really going to pay attention to. And we're not going to police it. Just so you know, we're not going to follow you around, making sure you're doing all the right things and following God the way you're supposed to. But as in any case, if something pops up that is out there and wide open and we know that it's going to affect the church or even affect your family, even if it's me, we're going to come alongside of you and not berate you and kick you out and throw you away. We're going to come alongside and say, hey, here's what we noticed. How can we help you? What can we do to help make this a little bit better for you? Where are you at? And lovingly walk with you through the process of getting back to where you need to be. And that goes for all of us. That's not just you, that's for me too. And so that's kind of what we're looking for. So obviously the first thing was this. This is our main statement when we begin looking at the paper that you'll look at in a couple of weeks. Thank you. It's right there. And it just restates what we are looking for as far as your relationship with God. And then the first tenet of our membership here at this church is this. I will actively participate in the activities of our church. That's the first thing that we're going to encourage you to do. Don't just come and be a Sunday morning person. Come and be involved. Be a part of the great thing that God has going on here. We've got plenty of children's classes that you can volunteer in. We've got other little jobs all over the place that you can take part in. We've got go groups that are happening all over the place that you can take part in. We have Wednesday night classes that you can take. We've got stuff going on. And what we want is for you to actively get involved. I mean, we've got Upward. We have construction stuff all the time. We've got stuff happening. Get involved. Get your hands dirty a little bit. We want you to actively participate in what's going on here. Last week, we talked about a little bit something different. We talked about how our proper focus is encourages proper giving, and I will live generously by giving of my time, talent, and treasure. And most of you in your church history sometimes have been turned off by churches by how much they have asked for your money. And most people won't come to church because that's what they feel the pastor's always going to talk about. He's always just going to want our money. I don't want your money. I want your time. I want the talents that God's blessed you with. And as you give those things and you're focused properly on God, you're honestly, willingly going to give to what's going on here and what God's trying to do. It's not just about your money. It is about you giving of yourself and how God has created you and what he's given inside of you to let that out to have an influence on other people. So not only do we want you to actively participate, but we want you to be generous in what you have and what God has blessed you with. And you will find, hopefully, that most people here are that way. And if you don't, let me know. I'll go get them. Just kidding. So here's the thing we want to talk about today. And this one's really tricky. So what we talked about last week are more of our physical qualities, our hands-on talents that we have. This today is going to go a little bit deeper. It's going to go to the internal, the spiritual side. And so here's your main thought for today. A proper focus opens spiritual doors. A proper focus opens spiritual doors. And when we talk about a proper focus, you will notice that the five things every Sunday that we talk about will always start with a proper focus. We firmly believe that the only way to know the spiritual doors or to know my talent, to be able to give generously of my time, talent, and treasure, and to really actively participate in the things of the church, I have to have a proper focus of who God really is. And as I focus on who God really is, then I can focus on who I am in him. And as I focus on who I am in him, then I can focus on what I can do through him. And so when my focus is correct, when my focus is what it's supposed to be, then all of these things start opening up, and internally, spiritually, some doors will begin to creep open. I was saved when I was 6. I had a great mom and dad that kept me in church all my life. I had a mom who knelt down with me beside my bed when I was a kid and prayed with me to where I could receive Christ. I asked him to forgive me of my sins and be Lord of my life. And from about 6 to about middle teenage years, I lived what I thought was supposed to be the Christian life. I did all the right things for the most part. I lived a good life. I made good decisions. I had the right kind of friends. I tried to keep myself out of trouble. I stayed in church. I was a leader in my youth group. I tried to be an usher, and I tried to do all these things because I thought that was what I was supposed to do. And it is part of it. But a little bit later in my teenage years, Sally's sister actually came home from college one year and took us through this Bible study called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. One of the best moments of my entire life, because here's what happened, is it took me from doing all the right things to being the right thing. There's a big difference. I can do all the right things, but still internally be rotten as all day long. But once I can fix my internal stuff and get my heart into the mode of that this is a real relationship with a real holy God that really wants me to live correctly, then my doing becomes different. It comes out of my being, not just doing for so everybody can see. And so sometimes in churches we have two different Christians, two different believers. Believers that just come on Sunday mornings and do their thing and just kind of half-heartedly do the right decisions. And then there are other believers that are really into it, that really have opened themselves up and realized that this is a relationship. This is a one-on-one thing between me and God. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm going to do what I know is right based on what he says. And here's what happens. When our focus gets to that place, spiritual doors begin to open. So when I went through that Bible study and my heart began to open up and realize that there was more to this life than me just doing the right thing, it was about me being the right thing, I had opportunities when I graduated college to teach in public school and coach soccer, which was the love of my life at that point in time, make lots of money, and I had it set. I had offers right there in front of my face, but I knew it wasn't what I was supposed to do. And so Sally and I got married, we moved to Alabama, we taught in a Christian school making no money at all. We had the time of our lives. You see, once our focus got to where it needed to be, all the doors began to creep open to where we could serve God more and more and more based on the things that he was revealing to us of our qualities and our spiritual gifts. So I took my math ability and I took my athletic ability and I went to the small Christian school and I gave all that I could, but within 6 months of us getting there, the youth pastor left. Well, I had been in youth group since I was probably 12. Even through college, I stayed in my youth group at home. And when we moved to Alabama, we stayed involved with the youth. I've never left the youth group until last year. That's a long time, by the way. I'm almost 40. That's a long time to be in youth group. That's a little weird. So, that for me was God saying, okay, I've got you focused. I've got some things I want you to do, so I'm going to open this door to see what you do. So he opened this door for Sally and I to step in and take over the youth group, and we took it over for 7 years we served as a youth pastor and youth ministers there. Why? Because we're special and we're awesome and we're good with kids? No. But because God had instilled in us specific gifts to be able to work with teenagers, and that we were willing to walk through the door as our focus was centered on Him. Let me tell you what else happened. As I began doing this, I began to grow even more and understand this relationship thing even more with God. And as I began to get closer to Him and my focus became a little more laser focused, our pastor left. And for a summer, about 8 weeks, I got to fill in. Now remember, I graduated with a math degree. I didn't graduate as a pastor. I didn't prepare to do any of this. And that's the cool part about that. It's because I wasn't ready to do that, and God knew it. And He said, I don't care. I'm going to take your willing heart and the gifts that I have already blessed you with, and I'm going to dig those out, and I'm going to make something out of you. And the cool part about that is I am no different than you. I'm not more special than you are. God has created all of us to do the very thing that I have done. Maybe not preach, but to simply say, I'm going to so focus on you that I'm going to open those doors that you bring into my presence, and I'm going to see what you want to do with the gifts that you've blessed me with, even though I don't even know what they are. Remember last week I told you I skipped speech class? Because I don't like talking in front of people. It scares me. It makes me nervous. This morning, even in the 8:30 service, right before Jim stopped talking or stopped singing, I knew it was my time. I got nervous. I hadn't done that in a very long time, but it was so weird. So it's still new to me. It's still fresh to me because this is not normal for me. This is an open door that God opened. I stepped in and He said, watch what's going to happen. But here's the thing. Each and every one of you can do the same thing. So did my 7-year stint in Alabama. God said, I got another door. I want to see if you want to walk through. And He opened it up, and that's how I got to be the children's pastor here. And then once I got here, I got acclimated to that because that was all new to me. He said, well, how about you do the youth thing again? Okay, let's do that. And then He said, hey, why don't you be the pastor? And I said, nah, I'm good. I'm out. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. He said, why don't you do that? And I said, whatever you want me to do. You geared me. You made me. You know what I can do, what I can't do. I'll be dumb enough to step out in those doors that you open up. You got to take care of the rest. And that's what He does. You can do that. And here's the cool part. It's not even about you. All you have to do is take the step. That's it. When you take the step, God slams that door wide open and He just does some amazing things. But it takes you to be willing to step out, to figure out what those gifts are, and allow Him to do a great work in your life. So a proper focus opens spiritual doors. So we're going to look at a lot of passages of Scripture today. We're going to float through pretty quick. So just hang with me. But here's what we're talking about, spiritual gifts. And these are tricky. Not everybody's geared to do all of these. Actually, nobody's geared to do all of these. And you may not have but one, or you may not have but half of it, but you've got stuff. And it's our responsibility to figure out what those are. So let's start looking at what they may be. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 says this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now, right off the bat, we see real quick that all of us are going to get something, but it's going to be in varying amounts. It's a little bit different. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All of those things are spiritual gifts that are somewhere inside of you. Some of you may not have the gift of prophecy. That's kind of the old guys way back, kind of think Moses style. Moses was like the infallible guy. He got the big message from God through the burning bush, like that type of prophecy. So it's a little bit different in today's terms. But a lot of you can teach. And you're not. A lot of you can give. You have the gift of hospitality is what I'm going to call it. But you can give, and you can give liberally. You've got extra stuff. You've got craftiness. You've got skills to do that, and you don't. Some of you can lead, and you don't. And some of us, all of us, could show a lot more mercy. A lot more mercy. And exhortation, some of us can give good advice and we can urge and encourage. We can hold each other accountable. There are things that we are geared and blessed to do, but we are scared to step out and figure out what those are. Let's keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 8. He says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I love that. He says, look, all of these gifts are going to be different, but there is one common factor. Not you, not me. It's the Spirit of God. That's the common factor. He says there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Did you hear that? The Spirit manifests itself in us, not to profit me, but to profit all of us. That's what these gifts are for. It's not for me to hoard up and go preach to myself every Sunday morning. It's for me to come and share. So we all get the benefit. Well, hopefully you get the benefit from it, right? That's what it's supposed to be about. If you've got the gift of teaching, share that. Because you can explain things. You can make things easier to understand. And we need that. It goes on, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. I love that passage. It talks about the diversity of all of these gifts. And I can promise you, these aren't all of them. There are plenty of them out there for us to share. But it talks about the Holy Spirit giving them as He sees fit. You may not be able to speak like I do. That doesn't mean you're any less than me. This is just a gift that God has given me. And I'm going to use it until He takes it away or I ruin it. I'm just going to keep going with it. Your gift may be to be able to give liberally. Your gift may be able to be able to teach. Your gift may be able to pray like nobody's business. Your gift may be that your faith is so big that you just, when God says go do it, you're like, let's go. I don't know all the answers, but I'm in. That's huge. There are people that are like that. I'm a little bit like that. I can get myself in trouble because I'll fly, man. I will get out ahead of God faster than He can. But I just trust Him. So what else does it say? It talks about, again, that He gives individually. Let's go to the next passage. Ephesians 4:11, He says, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, some of you may be thinking, isn't that the same thing? Actually, it's really not. Apostles, He's talking about, were the guys way back that were hanging around Him. They were kind of like missionary preachers. The prophets, again, those are the guys that had that direct correlation with God. They just lived the perfect, for the most part, life, and they had it going, and what they said was gold because it was from God. But then you get to the evangelists. Now, the evangelists, to me, is what I grew up with. These guys would kind of travel around, and they would come and hold tent meetings or revivals at your church. And the best part about being an evangelist, I would love to do it, you could just go into a church and just fillet them, and then you roll. And you leave the work for the pastor there to deal with it. But that's what an evangelist does. An evangelist is just a little bit more powerful speaker. He comes in and he just lays it out there. And there's something special about an evangelist that the Holy Spirit just works a little bit through. And it really may not even be him. It could be the people that are there, that their hearts are ready for it. But there's something special about an evangelist. And then you've got pastors and then you've got teachers. Now some of you may think, well, a pastor, isn't that the preacher? Well, not necessarily, because I have known some pastors in my day that are really good pastors, meaning they do really good hospital visits, they do really good home visits, they really take care of their people, but they are awful speakers. And then I know some that are really, really good preachers and are absolutely horrible pastors. They'll preach and then they'll go in their office and lock the door and never talk to anybody. So there is a little bit of a difference. Now, for me, I like to throw myself in the teacher role. I just want to make this as understandable, as practical, and as easy to live as I possibly can. I want to take the complexity of Scripture, and I just want to blow it up to where we can do this. Because it is doable. And yet, so many times we start reading, we're like, I don't know what that means. My goal every Sunday is to break it down. When you leave here, I don't want to hear any excuses to say, well, I just didn't understand what he was saying. So if I can understand this message, I know you can. So, let's keep going. 1 Peter 4:11, it says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Watch this, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here's the great part about this. It's got nothing to do with you. All that we do with abilities that God has blessed us with, these doors that we bust through, it has everything to do for us to turn it all the glory and honor back to him, all the attention back to God. It's really easy for me because I know me and I know my skill set and how far I can go. So when I get finished on a Sunday and you guys come say, oh, that was just the best sermon, let me tell you something. I'm going to be real quick to remind you that is God because I know me. And that's what he does. He wants to take what little we have to offer, which, again, is very little, and he wants to watch us lay it at the feet of his throne, at his altar, and just say, here's all I got, but I will give you it all. And he says, that's all I wanted to hear. And then he just blows it up. I love it. It is so much fun. Listen, I told you I get nervous when I do this, but it is fun for me because for me it's kind of like an out-of-body experience while I'm up here, kind of sitting on the shelf back there watching myself run around and dance around and talk for a little while because I know this isn't me. It's God speaking through me because this is not normal for me. I don't know. Maybe I do talk a lot. But I can feel his presence in me as I am doing this to remind me, you're not much, but I am huge when I'm in it. And so when he can be in it, when I can step out of the way and allow him to do what only God can do, that's when he takes off and does great things. So I have a book in my office that talks about theology, and it's one of the books that I had when I was in college, and Erickson talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as far as it does with gifts. And there are 4 points that he brought up that I want to share with you this morning before we get to the last part of the message. Here's the 4 things. Number one, all of these gifts in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians are given for the edification of the church. This is to bring attention to the church, to make it better, to make it stronger, to build it up. That is why we have it. Not everybody's going to have the same one because that would be really weird. So we have all of these different gifts to bring in, to strengthen, and to make the church better. Secondly, nobody has all the gifts, nor does everyone have the same gifts. So there's not going to be one person. I would be a liar if I stood up here and said, I have all the gifts, I'm much better than all of you. That's a lie. If I'm lucky, I got one of them. And so all of us have something. We just got to figure out what that something is. Number three, all are important. Some are just more conspicuous than others. In other words, if I have big faith, you may not know that. But because I stand up here and talk and preach, you know that that's one of the gifts that God's blessed me with. But maybe you're a great prayer warrior that you go home and you get in your closet and you just light it up. Most of us aren't going to know that. So there are some things that are a little more out there, and what we have to battle is how much attention do we want and how much is this about us and is it about God? That's where it gets tricky for us. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit gives as he sees fit. This is the call of the Holy Spirit. This is not me saying, okay, I want to be a better prayer. So God, make me a better prayer, make me a better prayer, make me a better prayer. Give it to me, I want it now. That's not how this works. God has already blessed us with these things. It is our responsibility to say, I am willing to do whatever you've geared me to do. If that means speak in front of people, if that means go teach, if that means be a better prayer, if that means increase my faith, if that means take a back seat to everybody else, even though I want to be in the limelight, I am willing to do it. Because it is what he has done. He knows what is best for us. So how do we get to the place that we can know what gifts we have? How do you know? It's a great question. Hopefully my answer will help you. So here's how you know. There's a couple of ways. One, obviously, start praying about it. Start asking God, what is it that you have geared me to do? I want to know. I want to get going with it. So ask. There's a second way. The second way is this. There is actually a test out in the world, out on the test market, that you can purchase, and it's like a little Scantron bubble sheet that you fill out, you send it off, they send it back, and they say, all right, based on your test scores, based how you answered, here are some spiritual gifts that we see that you have. It's a great, viable test, believe it or not.
And if you have questions about that and really want to know what's going on in your heart and in your life and what God has geared you to do, let us know. We will help you get the test, take the test, and we will sit with you and explain the results when they come back and work with you through that. Figure out how that can get going. It's a really, really neat deal. Here's the next thing, and here's really where I want to camp out for just a minute. If I really want to know God's will for my life and do what God wants me to do and understand the qualities and the gifts that He's blessed me with, I have to make a conscious choice to begin living correctly. God will not answer the prayers of "show me what you want me to do for you" as I continue to live in sin. God wants me to rid myself of some things to where He can replace them with some things, to where my focus gets a little cleaner and a little clearer, to where now the doors can begin to open now that I can see them. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5. This is a great passage that talks about this. Here's what it says. Excuse me. I say then, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, that is a whole sermon all by itself right there. That's a huge statement. If I stay in tune with God, I am less likely to sin. No amens to that? That's exciting stuff, man. That's big. That's the secret to this whole Christian life, and you guys didn't get excited about that? If I don't want to sin, follow God. If I follow God, I'm not going to sin as much, if at all. That's huge. So many times, here, listen, my goodness, y'all are killing me this morning. So many times we worry about what I can and can't do. And I worry so much about what I can't do that I forget about the freedom that I have in Christ. If I would concentrate more on the freedom in Christ of being able to live freely in Him and do all these great, enormous things that He has planned for me, I will have less time to think and to do sin. But we have it backwards. Because we get so focused into the world about what the world tells us is great and good. And most of the things, if not all the things that the world tells us is great and good, is actually contrary to Scripture, but we don't want to hear that. And if we can get rid of those things, I'm telling you, if we can focus on the great parts about living for Christ, your life will be different, because now your vision will be clear, your focus will be sharp, and the doors will begin to open, and you will have the courage to step through and do what God's created you to do. Woo! Man, that's good stuff. Maybe we should just leave and finish on that. That was good. Here we go. Continues on. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Did you know? I love tearing Scripture apart. Did you know you got an internal battle going on? Oh, good. You do know that. That's good. Can tell by that reaction. Yeah. Absolutely, man. Well, let me tell you what that battle is. That battle is nothing more than your selfish pride and your wants and desires battling against what the Holy Spirit says don't do. That's all it is. That is the internal battle. Everybody has that battle. I don't care how seasoned of a Christian you are, you will battle all the time. It is a constant battle. Some battles are a little easier. And as we get older and wiser and closer to God, it does get a little easier, but there's still battles going on because it's the internal struggle of what's going on inside of us. He says it's a constant thing. Here's what he says. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. You ever feel like that? I know I'm supposed to do that, but I'm going to go over here. Paul talked about it in Romans earlier, remember? He says the things that I know that I'm supposed to do, I don't. This is Paul. Paul, of all people. And he says, the things that I know that I'm not supposed to do, I do it. So this is nothing new. This is where we're at. This is what we do. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, back in Galatians, you are not under the law. Watch what he says. Now here's where it gets hairy for us. This is where it gets tough. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are. Here's how you know people are sinning. Adultery. Fornication, for those of you, that's a big word, you may not be familiar with that. That's sexual relations outside of marriage at any form. Uncleanness, lewdness, adultery, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Did it leave anything out? Nope, that covered pretty much everything. He says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now let me tell you something. That's a strong statement. Here's where I believe it is sending us. It is sending us to the place of you can't play the game of Christian and expect to make it. He says if you are practicing these things, meaning this is normal life for you, you cannot call yourself a Christian or a believer and practice these things on a regular basis. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. It's either all or nothing. There is no fence riding anymore. You can't sit on the fence post and get the best of both worlds. God is not okay with that. He's not. And I'm telling you right now, as a church, as a group of believers, we're not going to be okay with that. And again, we're not going to beat you over the head. We're not going to follow you everywhere you go. We're not going to police you. But just be wise in what you do. That's a big list, man. And I can tell you, I could probably name 4 or 5, maybe 6 of those. That's hard for me. I get jealous easy. Real easy. And it's an internal battle for me to catch it and throw it away. I don't want to harbor that. I don't want to sit on that. That's where I get myself in trouble. So I got to snatch it up quick and let it go. And I'm sure we all fall somewhere in that list. And so for me, in dealing with this and thinking about this, if I want spiritual doors to open up in my life, if I want to see where God's leading me, if I want to know the spiritual gifts that God's giving me, I got to let that stuff go. If I want to be honored by God, then I have to make better decisions in my life. If I want to be useful to God, I've got to let go of the junk that's hindering me from being useful. That's the way that it works. But watch what happens, because here's the problem. We often think when we take away these things that we love, that we really like being around, what's going to replace it? We're going to have this empty void. It's not going to be any fun. It's not going to be okay. I don't want to do that. Well, Paul talks about it, and this is how he addresses it. He says, but the fruit, not fruits, fruit of the Spirit is this. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he says, against such, there is no law. There is no law against any one of those things. You can't get in trouble for living that way. Now, if I want to live the other way, man, I can ruin some stuff. I can ruin my ministry. I can ruin my life. I can ruin my family. But if I live in joy and peace and patience and kindness, I'm not ruining nothing. It's all good. There's no law against this stuff. And watch what he says. He says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you want to know what God created you to do, and you want to know what doors he's trying to open up for you to use the spiritual gifts that he has embedded in you, you must walk with him. There is no other way. You cannot play the game and try to live both sides. It won't work. You will be lost and spinning your wheels and stuck in a rut. The only way to figure out what God has for you, to see what doors he has opening for you, is to get on track and to walk with him. Now, here's the trick. This is not a, well, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and I'm really tired. I really don't feel like it, so I'm just going to kind of live. Nope. This is every day, every moment, every waking second. We just sang a song about waiting here for you. What if, folks, seriously, what if the moment you wake up, you go about your daily routine, but in your heart of hearts and in your mind, you're saying, God, I am waiting for you right now. I am waiting to hear from you for what you have for me today. And all of these negative things that pop into our mind in the mornings and we all get worked up before we even get to work, what if we could just say, God, I am waiting. I am just simply waiting to hear from you, and I'm listening to nothing else. I am waiting to hear from you. Are you kidding me? Folks, that is walking after the Holy Spirit. Being in His presence constantly is what we're looking for. That's the study we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks in my office. It's just practicing, just being in the moment of no matter what we're doing, of just being in His presence and making the decisions that honor Him. That's what He's looking for. He says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another, or anything like that. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And when I can replace the junk in my life and allow the Holy Spirit to bring these things into my life will look a lot different to those that are watching. And here's the cool thing. These things right here, this is not something I can say, okay, I'm going to go practice joy today. I'm going to go do joy. What does it say? It's the fruit of what? Not the fruit of Alan. It's the fruit of the Spirit. As the Spirit lives within me, and as I wait on the Spirit to move me, He moves those things in. And as a spiritual gift to me, now I can love properly. And as a spiritual gift to me, I can have true joy, not happiness that is fleeting, but true inner peace and joy. And I can be patient with my kids when I want to rip their head off. And I can be kind to my wife. And I can be good to the people of my church. And I can be in control. And I can be patient. And I can be gentle. Not because of me, but because my focus is so laser-centered on Him. I understand Him more. The doors open. He comes in and draws this stuff out and replaces with what it needs to be replaced with. That's what we're looking for. So the third tenet to be a member here at our church, here's what we're asking you to do the best that you can. I will use my spiritual gifts to serve the church and the world. We are here to help you. We're here to walk with you, to get you to the place where you understand what all this is. I don't expect you to come in 30 minutes and just swallow and get everything I just shared with you. Sit on it. Think about it. Pray about it. Set up a time. I'll come to your house at night. We'll talk. We'll meet somewhere and talk. It's why we're here. We want to help you get to the place where you are so walking in the Spirit that you know my sermon before I even get it out of my mouth. Because it could happen. Because the sermon's not coming from me. It's coming from Him. And all of these gifts and all of these things that we talked about, remember what the Scripture said, it comes from the same Spirit. Let's pray. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And we're going to do something a little bit different, but not too different. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. But here's what I'm going to do. In just a moment, I'm going to just begin praying. And I'm going to actually turn my back because I'm not going to peek today. Because I really, truly want this to be between you and God and nobody else looking. If this, for you, this service, has challenged you to know that there are some things in your life that you're still holding on to, but you really want to know God and you really want to uncover these gifts, maybe this morning you should stand in recognition to the Lord to say, you know what, I know I need to make some changes. I need to pay more attention to you. I need to walk with you even more. I need to get rid of some things in my life. God, please replace them with the right kind of things. And all I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray. And as I'm praying, I'm not going to be looking around. And if you feel the need to stand in recognition and say, God, this is me. I need your help. I want to know what I can do for you. I just want you to stand. That's all you got to do. And then when I finish praying, what I would invite you all to do is just stand to your feet. We're going to close in a song of worship. This is your time to come to the altar. This is your time maybe to, if you want to go speak to somebody, if you got a role, that's okay too. This is your time to close out your worship time with your service with God. This is your time. Praise team has prepared a song just for you, just to be able to worship and to close out your time with the Lord. So let's pray together. God, I do thank you and appreciate so much how amazing you really are. And God, this is so hard for us, man. It's easy for us to do the outside work with our hands to where people can see and we get the recognition and it kind of drives us and fuels our fire to be a better Christian. But God, the internal stuff is really where it's at. The internal stuff is hard. God, we get so caught up with jealousies and lies and deceit and drunkenness and revelries and envies and all that other stuff that was up there. But God, for me, truthfully, I don't want any of that stuff. I'm sick of dealing with it. I'm sick of arguing with it. I'm sick of fighting with it. I'm sick of dragging it around. I want to be joyful. I want to be patient. I want to be kind. I want to be gentle. God, I want to have such self-control. But God, I recognize this morning based on your word that I can only have those things when I truly submit and walk with you. May you even work on my own heart, Father. Call to attention the things that I need to change to get rid of, to where I can experience the presence of God every waking moment. For those of us that this really hit home, that may be standing right now, God, I just ask that in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would just work on their hearts, bring them to a place where they see the error of their way and they are willing to make the necessary changes. God, you are great. You are amazing. Love you so much. Thank you so much for being here today, working on our hearts, and just blessing as you always do. We love you, praise you, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all stand and worship with us today?